Well, praise the Lord, saints. Mm-hmm. We thank you again for coming and being with us on this Thursday evening Bible study. For truly, the Lord is good. And I just bless his holy and righteous name. He is just continually to bless us each and every hour, moment, second of the day. Mm-hmm. And I love him for it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Last week, we talked about the kingdom of God. We said the kingdom is God's kingdom, Father God's kingdom. He is the king of the kingdom. And no one can or will overthrow the kingdom or sit on the throne but Father God and Jesus Christ. We understand it is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But the enemy does not want us to have it. This kingdom is not accessible to the outer or external man, but it is given to the spiritual or inner man. The kingdom given to us is within us. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom is not tangible, which means it cannot be operated out of the flesh. Remember we said in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Even though we see the corruption and chaos increasing and getting stronger, God is not going to allow the enemy to prevail over his children. That is why Jesus is preparing to come back. And only the Father knows exactly when he will be sent. What we heard and was encouraged about on Sunday was knowing the voice of God. In Genesis, Adam knew and heard the voice, but he disobeyed it. Here are some people that heard his voice. Noah heard it and built the ark. Enoch knew and walked with God. Moses recognized God's voice in the bush. Jonah heard, disobeyed, repented, and obeyed. There were many chosen prophets that were chosen to hear and speak God's word to his people. But when Jesus came and obeyed the voice of God and went back and sent us a comforter, the voice that the prophets and others heard has now been made available for all to hear. We now can hear, trust, and obey the voice of God. The kingdom or the character of God is now in us so we can be effective witnesses to him and before him. We are not just conquerors, but are more than conquerors. We are not just children, but we are the children of God. Again, the word was explained Sunday how we hear and acknowledge who Jesus is, but quickly forget the words or revelation that came from God. Peter showed us just how quickly that can happen. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, starting with the 12th verse. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Some are questioning Jesus' resurrection today. Some religions are teaching there is no resurrection, and we need to stay away from them. Can you imagine someone saying they believe God, they believe in God, but they don't believe what Jesus did was good enough for God and for us? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? If there is no resurrection, not only is he not risen, but there is no blood shed for redemption. How then could Jesus be our redemption? How could he be our sanctification? How could he be our righteousness if he was not resurrected? Verse 14 said, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. The world, the philosophers, the deceivers would have you believe the Bible is wrong, outdated, and changed by man. But prophecies and signs have been fulfilled and come to pass way before man learned how to write. Yea, verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If Christ be not risen, why am I here? Why are you listening? Why do we go to church? 16 says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. If Christ was not risen, after Peter and the 12 said they saw him, who did the other 500 see? If you go back to verse 6, 5 and 6, it says this, and that he was seen of Cephas, who is Peter, then of the 12. Then it said, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. It was not just the 12 that saw him. Also, after his resurrection, the graves of many saints were opened. This is found in Matthew 27, 52 and 53. And it says this, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. I want you to notice, it said the bodies of the saints, not the wicked, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Mm-hmm. If you were just there, if one of your loved ones had passed who had been believing in Christ, and afterwards the grave opened up and they came to see you. Look at going back to 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. So if Christ be not risen, what we believe and do every Sunday is a lie. And we are still sinners with no hope. Look at it in verse 18. It says, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Unless it is certain that Christ rose again, all those who die in Christ have perished. So then, what does it profit us to have faith? If Christ is not risen, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, what are we hearing and having faith in? If in this life only, verse 19, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If you are hearing the voice, you know that Christ died and rose. Mm-hmm. Verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Adam got us in this pickle, but Jesus delivered us from that pickle. And of course, it tells us in verse 22 and 23, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. The question is asked by some in regards to these verses. If Christ's resurrection be the cause of the believer's resurrection, then why did not all believers rise when he rose? If the head, which is Christ, was risen, why did not all the members rise with him? Let us understand this verse. God had appointed an order which must be observed. And this order was that Christ should be the first fruits of the harvest, that he should rise first from the dead. And then they that are Christ at his coming to judgment shall rise after him. That is why the saints came out of the graves after his resurrection. And then comes the end. That is the end of the world. And then Christ will deliver up his kingdom to God the Father. As it says in verse 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Jesus came, finished the work, gave it back to the Father. We are left with the Comforter to continue the work. After all is said and done, after Satan has done all that God allows, after God has said enough is enough and sent Jesus to get his children, after this last war is over, and after nations shall deceive nations, because Revelation says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You hear that? The false prophets shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So both the false prophets and the devil shall be cast into the same lake of fire. And you'll find that in Revelation 20:14. And it goes on to say, and after, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire as well. Then and only then, Jesus will put down his rule, authority, and power, and deliver up the kingdom back to his Father. Mm-hmm. For those who still say Jesus is the Father, how you know he is even on the right hand, you ask. Or if there is a right hand of God, you say. Let me bring the scripture to your attention again in Acts chapter 7, 55 and 56. For those that may have that question in mind. This is Stephen being stoned for the truth. Verse 55 says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You see the glory of God because God is a spirit. Verse 56 says, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Saints, do you see? Jesus stood. He was seated, but he stood as they stoned Stephen. This kingdom we are talking about will strengthen you by knowing, listening, and receiving the right voice. It is the voice of God that makes you free. So let's go back and look at Hebrews 12:28 again. Hebrews 12:28, it says, wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We have a kingdom not like the law of man. The law of man can be changed. It can be destroyed. It can be deleted, amended. It is imperfect and can be altered. But the word of God, the kingdom of God, cannot be shaken. The kingdom of God is not revengeful or judgmental. It is true, righteous, and faithful. God's kingdom cannot fail. Let us have and keep and hold fast the benefit and gift that is in the heavenly kingdom which God has given us. Let us not cast away our confidence. For godly fear is having respect to all God's commandments. Now, there's something else we need to know about the kingdom. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Starting to verse 13. Matthew chapter 7. Starting at verse 13. There is, in 13 it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. The gate is an entrance or passageway. Straight here means narrow, a point of difficulty. What you carry with your flesh cannot enter this gate. Man is trying to alter the meaning of God's word so he may take what he wants into God's kingdom. But man forgets it is God's kingdom. Just like you don't allow certain things in your house, God will not allow just anything in his house. And remember, you are his temple. God does not allow anything in his temple. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the destructive ways are being revealed by God every day. If you allow him, he will show you what is destroying the temple you live in. Verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." To find the way of life, you must hear the voice of life, which comes from the word of God. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raven wolves. So beware of those that speak smooth words, those that make no mistakes, those that use long $100 words, those that have degrees and no compassion. Verse 16 says, "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" The fruit Jesus is talking about is character. Peace and joy is the fruit of the character of God. Chaos and sadness is not his character. They are thorns and they are thistles. Verse 17 says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bring not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. When Jesus comes back, if you are found bearing evil fruit, don't expect to go back with Jesus. This is why we now remove the fruit that is not good and replace it with the fruit that is good. Removing the bad character, the hate, the envy, the evil, and replacing it with love, peace, and joy, and patience. Verse 20 says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." You will know a true leader by the character they display. Now, verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." This is still in the realm of knowing the voice and having the right kingdom in you. We not only hear and speak, we must do what we hear and speak. Let's look at one of my favorite scriptures. And I encourage you to memorize this one if you can. John 6, 39 and 40. John 6, 39 and 40. Verse 39 says, "And this is the king, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day." And this is Jesus speaking. I'm going to say that again. "And this is the Father's will, which has sent me." Father sent Jesus, "that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Anything that the Father would have us to do, Jesus did first. Mm-hmm. So Jesus had a will just like we have one. The will of Jesus was to do just as he did. He lost none that was given to him, but raised them up at the last day. In order to do so, Jesus heard and obeyed the voice of his Father. Now for us, look at verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The word "see" means to understand. In order to understand something, you must hear it. When you hear it, you must listen. After you hear and listen, you do. What Jesus did and said is what we must understand, what we must believe and do. Today, many understand a thing, but they will not do it. Christians understand what Jesus has said and done today, but many will not follow the instructions. It's not good enough to hear the voice. We must obey it. In the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. To understand, believe, and do is the way the door to eternal life opens. And doing that which you hear and understand provides you with what is needed to be raised up when it is time for you to go. Paul said this in Galatians. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He also said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Let's close with this scripture as a reminder to us all. Galatians 1, 8, 9, and verse 11. Galatians 1, 8, 9, verse and 11. "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." And verse 11 says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." With that, my time is up, and I thank you for yours.